Welcome to the Amber Stitt Show. I am your host, Amber Stitt, and today I get to welcome Joshua Cameron, a beautiful, brilliant soul, onto the show today. So thank you so much for being here, Joshua.
Hey, my pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm really excited for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And well, I really love that we met and then how we met. And I appreciate it.
Yes. And for those listeners that know a little bit about Pathways of Peak Performance, you'll hear me refer to that. It's basically five pillars, a framework, if you will, that came about back in 2020 around COVID time and just really trying to help people build resilience in their lives. And so just a quick recap on those five steps. We have focusing on talents, so really looking within to help ourselves build our goals. And then we focus on money after we establish some self-awareness within, and then focusing on risk management, either by getting organized in our lives. Maybe it's through insurance products or other ways to then just bring that stress out of our lives as we go through different obstacles that we might face, having resilience there. Focusing on the fourth step would be marketing and technology, just making sure that we're innovating, constantly keeping up, being relevant. And then the fifth would be focusing on community. And I kind of want to start there with you, Joshua, because I've been doing a lot of personal development in my own life. And I have, it's something I truly have enjoyed over the years, even before I was a business owner. But also this year, I've really done a lot to help grow our business, add to our team. And then we've even looked at being not only mentors to others, but then paying for some coaching ourselves. And so I go to a workshop that helps craft the story behind who we are. And I bump into you. I just happen to sit next to you at this table up front. And so that's where it all began. And we haven't been able to really talk and spend a lot of time getting to know each other. But when we had those moments between breaks, et cetera, I just knew you'd be a perfect fit for the show. So focusing on community is really that network of people that can be your support system. And originally it started as an idea for a business owner to always leverage strategic partners. If you're out or you're sick or you're on a sabbatical, refer the business to other strategic partners. But then as I was getting into this more over the last few years, I realized our network is so powerful and people that we meet, it can do so much, whether it's thought leadership. You don't have to be in the same business lines to really create movement. And so that's how I met you, is through a Stages conference, Pete Vargas, his 10X Stages. But let's go back up to step one. And I think that's a perfect place to start because I want people to know about you and your business and really how you got there. So let's pass the mic and let you share a little bit about yourself.
I really appreciate that. And my journey has been a long one. So maybe I'll start off with where I am now, and then maybe we can start kind of piecing that together in like a Quentin Tarantino style of going back in time.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah. So where I am now, and what really, I think where you and I really hit it off is like, you know, hey, we're really into neuroscience, and where neuroscience overlaps with physics, overlaps with spirituality, right? And Joe Dispenza is a big part of that. Yeah. And, you know, with what I've been doing, I've been helping, you know, people across five different continents who, you know, are suffering from conditions, right? Maybe a torn bicep tendon, maybe arthritis. Right. Maybe, you know, just severe, you know, mental trauma that causes psychosomatic, you know, issues where, you know, the intense amount of, you know, pain in the mind then causes, you know, boils or bumps to, you know, pop up on the body. And helping people go through meditation to connect to, you know, what does science say? Well, if we go back to the early 1900s, Einstein said everything is energy, right? A contemporary of his, Max Planck, said consciousness is primary, which means whatever the substrate is, consciousness is what's creating what we call reality, right? Niels Bohr, you know, a contemporary of theirs as well, said that everything that we call real is made up of stuff that cannot be regarded as real. And so now we've proven with physics that everything we call particle matter reality is actually a light wave that collapsed into particle matter reality. And what I was trained to do is to help people go within. Just like you talked about, when you go within and you quiet the noise up in here in the mind that's so convinced of its own brilliance, you quiet the noise there within the signal from that light is much more clear, right? Anyone who deals with data sets, large data sets, they understand the idea of quiet the noise to increase the signal. And when you do that, you can reach the light. And then as you reach the light, again, the light wave collapses into particle matter reality where you can reshape who you are from the inside. And that programming that you reshape is going to be running inside of your body. Hey, I feel amazing, or hey, I feel like crap. But whatever that is, we're going to run those programs. And being able to tap into the highest, most base root of that is where really the magic happens.
Yeah. So I think for the audience, Joe Dispenza was introduced to me by my grandmother. And you guys hear me talk about my grandmother, Marvelous Marjorie. She is almost 92. She introduced me to Joe Dispenza. But Joe Dispenza talks about his injury that he faced and how he healed himself from, I think, not being able to walk, or maybe even more severe than that. But it was a very serious, long drawn out course where he worked with his brain to then heal himself. And now he's doing a number of things. I took one of the books that it was a second book of his, and I was preparing for a presentation last year. And I literally did not stand in a room and practice. By reading some of his information, I visualized the room. And I thought through in my mind what I wanted to speak about. And I never actually spoke the words. Now, a coach would probably say, do it that way, but also practice out, you know, whatever it is. But I also went to that conference and my friends said, okay, you're about to present. Are you nervous? And I said, no, I'm not. And I kept saying that to myself. And I think everyone gets a little bit of the butterflies. That's just a natural reaction, because you are excited and you are going to have some emotion to bring, especially if you care about your message. I was able to go up and have those a little bit of the jitters, but I was able to just take that hour and fill it and do exactly what I needed to do. And I think that's where I was sharing with you. I noticed some of that. It was all working within the power of controlling it for myself and working through some of his work. So that's where you and I connected there. There was a Healthy Brain book that I had started reading a couple years back, where some of my family was dealing with some brain issues and just some other things, potentially from like a Lyme's disease issue. And so that's where I started studying more of that brain science and trying to pull it into my house. And every night there's like a ritual, a routine I do with my daughter where we read and then we talk through some storytelling, kind of some fun bedtime routine that she, what we call it, doing our dream. But we speak and kind of get excited. We don't go to bed mad, but setting that tone for that evening into the morning and trying to just have that, I am having a great day. And so I'll leave it there to kind of have you pick back up. But for the audience to have it just really be applicable is, what are we telling ourselves? And so I know you had worked through going through different variations throughout your life, figuring that out. And it wasn't always easy. And I want the listeners to know this might be baby steps,
yeah,
but the goal is for us to help you get there through our own stories.
Well, and you know, I grew up in a household that, you know, didn't really know love. You know, mom, you know, God bless her soul now, is, you know, very much changed to who she was then. Alcoholic, lost at the bottom of a bottle. You know, my stepdad was a, you know, rage monster. So, you know, not a lot of love in that house. And the survival mechanisms that I employed in order to survive, understanding that the tyrannosaur cannot see me if I don't move, right? If I sink into the background, I ain't going to be seen by that rage monster. Well, that blew up for me epically in school, because guess who gets picked on, right? The shy kid.
I see.
And so I didn't have the ability to go to a parent as a mentor, mm-hmm, and say, hey, what gives? How come these rule sets that I'm using to live here to survive in this space don't work for me in this space? And I didn't realize, well, I need to, you know, become a different person. And we can start to do that exactly like you said, you know, visualize and see yourself doing that. It starts to create those exact same neural pathways. Right. And then what is it? The brain cells that, you know, fire together, wire together. And so that way, you know, we can start to create these neural pathways that we want, right? That actually support us. And, you know, you mentioned how, you know, everyone's going to have butterflies. You know, there was a famous UFC fighter, John Jones, and he said that everyone gets butterflies. The trick is to get them all flying in the same direction.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so when you visualize yourself already there, hey, are you nervous? Right. Amber, are you nervous that, you know, to give this?
People kept saying that to me. I go, get out. Like, are you trying to make me feel that way? But notice, what are you saying to people?
Yeah, exactly. But then also internally, you can say, well, no, I've already given this speech 10 times. Well, what do you mean you have? You haven't even done it yet. Well, of course I have, because I've done it in here. And I've already experienced it.
There's one thing I want to touch on before you move forward is, if there is a person, I figure there's teachers, environments, churches, wherever you are, and there's this community. And if you're noticing somebody, almost like I'm picturing who you would have been back then, maybe go out, just reach out and potentially give some time to that person. Because maybe if you're noticing someone's shutting down, shutting off, there might be something behind it. You might be able to instill some confidence there in a different way, shine a light and really try to be aware of what's happening around you. And it reminds me of when I did a junior achievement day down in Tucson earlier this year, and there was a girl in the back of the room as eighth graders, and it's pretty wild in there. And there was one girl just laying down and just we're all doing like a business logo exercise and she's just head down and we kind of circled the room working through and she just wasn't really receptive, but we didn't give up and we got back there and asked her more questions and she just lit up. By the end of the exercise, she's at the front of the room with one of the best logos and we just gave her that time to kind of shine. And I mean, it was like a game changer. So that just reminded me, if you're seeing some of that, maybe, I don't know if it would have been super helpful at that time to have that leadership, but if there's no other mentor to go to for that person, and maybe that can be some 5-10 minutes of something you can give somebody else.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and the thing is anything that's unfamiliar, our mind is going to perceive threat.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in an unfamiliar space might cause some people to become shy and shut down and mm-hmm. basically not want to be seen, right? Because when they're seen, that can be dangerous for them. In the case of me, right, in a, mm-hmm. in a you know, violent household. But when you right. show up and, you know, let somebody know, hey, you know, this may be unfamiliar, but let me crack a joke. The thing is, like, when somebody laughs, like, they can't help themselves from laughing. It's like right. when you hit, you know, flint against steel, right? The spark goes off. It doesn't wait to spark. Like it just goes off. And so you get somebody to laugh. It can just let down the barriers. And healing is more than just getting into that space and closing your eyes and, you know, maybe saying, right?
But I think or some namaste. People will say, nope, I don't meditate. Joshua, I'm not going to do that. Nope.
I was one of them. I was one of them for sure. Yeah. I listened to a lot of people that talked about how they meditated. I was like, okay, that's probably good for you.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but I didn't see the value in it myself until I tried it. Because mm-hmm. if there's anything that this is brilliant at doing, right? Our logical mind is it's brilliant at turning any mature adult immediately into a toddler. And it kind of goes like this. Hey, does this idea make sense to me? Oh, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, it has no value. So watch me now in real time, fold my arms and tell you that I don't like those vegetables I've never tried.
So you're telling me you can help my daughter eat better.
Right. Well, but like, what's amazing about that.
Application in adult life, right?
Yeah. Well, and what's amazing about that is, you know, we say that, you know, the devil's in the details. Well, this is mm-hmm. where all the noise is. And, you know, life is about experience, which means you have to live life. And if you aren't living life, well, what's lived backwards? Well, it's devil. So we really literally get trapped by the devil. Yeah. And so there's brilliant ways to look at it and to allow yourself to shine. And you know what? If you take a risk and you act and it doesn't work out, hooray, you got feedback.
Yeah. Back to that data that you're talking about. Yeah. So how do you go global with your work?
Yeah, that worked out by me connecting with Peter Sage. And for those who don't know, Peter Sage was the youngest trainer for Tony Robbins back in like 2003, I think. So he'd been, you know, a trainer for Tony Robbins for a long time. And then he started going out more on his own because Tony gets people who are in a, hey, the world happens to me. I'm a victim to getting off your butt and doing something with your life. Yeah. What Peter does is take you from that, you know, swimming upstream. I'm going to make it happen no matter what. I'm going to grab the world by its throat to getting into a more flow state and allowing the river of life to take you where it needs to go. And this is where I got really connected to, you know, Scandinavians, you know, Europeans, Australians.
And they're doing things differently than the US, aren't they?
They're much braver to speak their minds, right? The US, we talk about just how, you know, just how independent we are and look how great we are. You know, I bleed red, white, and blue, but I better say exactly what that other person is saying or else I'm going to get canceled.
And with social media, they're so vocal, but that's not what you mean.
Right.
If I literally feel this way, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it to fit the political party or the audience I'm in front of.
Exactly. Right. Because the way that politics is unfortunately devolved in this country, it makes me sad, you know, as a combat veteran, right? You know, I spent, you know, 4 years in the army, went to 2 different war zones. My first one was 8 days after September 11th. I mean, till this day, I got out in 2003. Till this day, I cannot hear the national anthem without tears welling up in my eyes, right? And like, you know, I don't tell a lot of people that because it's like, it's kind of cheesy, but there's a part of me that really does thump that red, white, and blue. So I've got that red, white, and blue pumping through me. And it makes me sad to say that Americans really are probably the most propagandized people on the planet. Yeah. And the thing is, though, is by recognizing that we can empower ourselves because no matter where we go, whether we go to the grocery store, well, guess what people are trying to do? They're trying to get us to buy something. We go to a conference. Well, guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to make us better and maybe buy something. Okay. So life is probably going to be a series of people trying to convince us to do things that are either good for us or not good for us. So what if we did that exact same game within ourselves, you know, instead of doing what's not good for us, asking ourselves, hey, what would be good for myself in this space, right? If the noise is all there, it should be hard to hear the signal, which is why meditation becomes a little bit more important, because meditation is what quiets that noise. So when you ask yourself that question and the answer comes as a whisper, then you can cling onto it. But if there's a cacophony of noise, it's going to be really hard to pick up on a whisper.
Yeah, the chaos. I mean, you set your environment for studying. You set your environment for a good client meeting, or if you're preparing for something important, you move that noise away. You turn off your phones. We hope that people do that these days, but like going to the movie, turn off the, you know, the ringer. They always say that at the very beginning. So why are we not thinking that all the other distractions that are more physical, or like that we can really truly see or hear, even if you can't fully see it, like we've talked about with physics, doesn't mean it's not really there just because it's something you can't touch or grab. So practicing the ability to quiet is so important. And so part of my insurance planning and talking about risk management is to say, what kind of game plan have you set up to get organized in your life? And it could be simply like a binder. Where is everything at? And in case of an emergency, your brain is going to be dealing with all these different emotions going through the stress. If you're sick, we've had brain fog post-COVID. Like there's things that we know if we're not feeling well and we're just sick, we can't perform our best. So whatever other toxic elements are there that just can get into our mind, it's too hard to focus. So really going through, that's part of the pathways, is what steps have you put into place? Because there will be that day you can just cruise through that very surgically, operating on a system of like this wavelength that's really just focused. And I think that takes practice, but you have to find your rhythm there. You mentioned something before. I don't think you fully explained like the energy and quieting it down. There's something about the energy sources, something about physics. I know you talked about it. I've seen it on your YouTube channel. You mentioned it briefly earlier.
When we are able to quiet our mind, right, and then actually tune into the heart, well, we're going to start to be able to tap into more dimensions, right? The physics can, and neuroscience can prove that our brain has the ability to tap into more dimensions than our body can, right? There's quantum tunneling going on, which is where, you know, quantum tunneling is when the particle becomes a wave, right? Say you're playing ping pong, right? And you're playing ping pong and boop, 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 right? Hitting this ball. Well, what happens to that ball then turns into a wave and goes right through that paddle, right? So if there's an obstacle that's in the way of that particle and then it turns into a wave in order to keep the sequence going, well, then it has the ability to do that. And, you know, we understand that these are properties that are, you know, perhaps hard to wrap our minds around because it doesn't necessarily make logical sense. And, you know, Niels Bohr talked about that there's a CIA gateway protocol, right? The CIA, right? While I don't necessarily like all the, you know, clandestine operations that they do, this is not just some, you know, small time operation. You know, they were taught how to do remote viewing, right? They're taught psychic phenomenon. They're taught all sorts of things. And in there's a quote from Niels Bohr, where his son was getting into quantum mechanics. Niels Bohr, if you're not familiar, is one of the foundational scientists, you know, within quantum mechanics. And his son asked him some approximation of, hey, dad, what gives? Like, this is so confusing. It's so confounding. I don't get it. And what Neil said was, son, you're not thinking. You're only being logical. And so that logic will break down. It's a framework, which means that when we're in a logical place, well, it's good. Exactly what you said. Hey, what's your logical plan for your health, for your health? That's perfect, right? Because this is a plan. Now we understand, you know, any general understands that, you know, any battle plan breaks down when you hit the battlefield.
But I think we need to say that logic, even though, yes, it makes sense, we have to understand that that is a component.
Yeah.
And if something is not logical at one period of time, it might just be because we don't know how it works, or we're not talented in that arena. Like, say, I do not want to be going through accounting practices. I'm helping people with their planning, but I'm doing more on the concept-based insurance transactions and contracts. So then you would team up with a partner that could then pull the pieces together. But I think business ownership can feel very lonely because something might not seem logical yet. And that's where, going back to community, you have to hang out with people that are okay with your illogical, crazy ideas, because that is where things really start to take shape and can be created. So I think there's a step there that you're saying, like an application of understand what's logical, great, but let's go over here and see what else we can create a solution for a problem. Or I think that's where a lot of the growth really lies.
Well, and then even, you know, in our relationships, you know, you can probably speak to this much more authentically than I can, but, you know, women often, you know, are said that they come from their feelings and their emotions much more than men. And if, you know, there's a woman who's feeling like she's hurt, how often does a logical argument win the day versus maybe a hug?
Ask my husband. Just saying,
Yeah. Because so often, you know, as guys, we are stuck in this logical frame. Oh, she's got a problem. Let me go ahead and try and fix her. And she's like, well, what the hell? You didn't even listen to me. Whereas right? most often what women want is, hey, honey, I get it. It sounds like you had a hard time.
Right.
He's listening to me. Thank you. And just
that
be there.
That sounds crazy. Always works. That statement, that sounds crazy. That does not work, you guys. No, I think you're right. And it's sometimes just being that, just listening. And all of us, I know I'm a pretty talkative person. I have to work on stopping and listening. And that's one of those things we always can be working on. So I think that's a reminder there. Outside of logic, opening your mind to the opportunity, possibility that just because you haven't come across it yet or you can't see it, that it doesn't exist. And I know that you've worked through a whole other spiritual side of your business. It's come multiple decades to get there, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and in the, you know, wartime experience, you know, I didn't realize that I was compounding what was already there, right? That PTSD was compounding just that hurt little kid inside of me.
I see.
And I had a hard time, though, in theater, right? When I was actually in the sands of Iraq, right? I didn't really have the ability to see how it was changing me. But when I got back home and I was around the people who I loved, I felt like a shadow of who I was. I felt... You know, I felt who I could be. I couldn't quite reach, you know, that person anymore. I didn't really even know why. And you know, that ruined a couple of, you know, relationships, a couple of marriages. I had a hard time really connecting with my son when he was first born. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't really like myself. And it took me a long time to see that the words that come out of my mouth aren't a reflection of who I'm describing. They're a reflection of me, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether we, you know, love or don't love the Bible, there's a lot of deep wisdom there, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. Not because Amber judges me and my world falls apart, but because if I judge somebody, well, then I run the risk of judging myself from the very judgments I'm casting upon others. And as Tony Robbins said that, you know, the most powerful part of the human psyche is the need to be consistent with how we see ourselves or our identity. And as I'm judging, that's literally how I see myself, which means that the more I judge somebody else, the more I get dragged down by that judgment.
Some of the training we've been doing, if you're hearing an objection in business from a client per se, it's probably because you mirror that same thing in your life.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff just kind of goes in a circle. So I want to say thank you for your service. I didn't know that part of your world before this. There is a thing that I want to bring up before we wrap up, because I think it's important for people to kind of know that journey that you've been on. I imagine like if I'm not in a community of people that are in the similar kind of mindset as I am, it can feel lonely. And I haven't even gone to war. So when people come back and people have no idea the day in and day out of what someone's been through, and I guess it doesn't have to be war. I guess you could say it could stem from childhood. It doesn't matter. Any facet of time to find that connection again, I think it'd be really hard. I've always thought about that because it can be very lonely in business if people don't understand the logic behind some of the moves people make as they create. But I want people to know that you're going to be a good sounding board for that. And I know that you have some webinars and some other places to get information on you. So as we close up, I do want to have you share anything else about, because I asked about the global part because I wasn't sure if part of that was because of your previous life. Sounds like it's through the Tony Robbins thing. And he has so many quotes about consistency. And it's really, it's not about like the IQ, the smart, being as smart as the consistency in the habits and probably in the words like you're mentioning that you're telling yourself. But really, if you're feeling that disconnect, whether it was you are also dealing with PTSD, I want people to know that you're a sounding board. You've been there, done that. And you have so many ways to overcome it through your practices. And that's where you have developed your business, right? Is through those experiences.
Yeah. Well, and what's amazing about that is, you know, when you deal with the grief in the mind, well, you also, because the pain in the mind is just a representation of how the mind feels pain. The body's got its own representation. And there's a brilliant book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk, and talks about how the pain in the mind will manifest into the pain in the body. And what I'm saying is that when you work with somebody like me who can tap you into that light source, right, into that soul and help you reshape at your core belief, at where this all starts, well, then the mind and the body, well, they heal as a natural consequence, right? A lady from South Africa, for instance, you know, she had been going through a lot of stress. You know, her husband was wasting away in a nursing care facility that didn't take care of him, getting giant bed sores, you know, across his back. And she'd complain saying, hey, you're not taking care of my husband. And they'd say, well, you're white. You're in South Africa. You must be racist. So that's adding even more stress to her. So she had to take care of him. He's 275 pounds. She's maybe 160. So she ended up tearing her bicep tendon multiple times trying to take care of him. And even little things, reaching out her window, right? Reaching up into a cupboard said literally would bring her to her knees. Well, I took her through meditations, right? I'm in Utah. Right? I'm in the U.S. Yeah. I'm not even on the same continent. And just through meditations alone, within 5 days, not only that pain go away, but then she had 30% more movement in her arm. By 3 weeks, she had 70% more movement. And, you know, I helped her deal with the grief and that pain resolved itself because, again, we're affecting the root cause.
We talk a lot with extended care planning. Caregivers are historically like a 49-year-old female, but children that grow up in poverty too can have chronic illness as well because of that stress in the brain. I think that's what ultimately, that's an easy word to have people be relatable. The stress or the chronic situation can then come through the mind and then your body can have the output.
Which makes sense because when we are stressed in our mind doesn't know the difference, right? This is something Joe Dispenza talks about. Our mind doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So stress is just imagining the danger, which then does what? Well, it releases the fight or flight hormones. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that do? Well, it actually draws the blood from our core. It draws the blood from our internal organs, which is our internal life support system. It puts it into our limbs so we can burst at a moment's notice. And when we do that and we live there, well, that means that everything that supports our life support is not getting the nourishment that it needs.
Right.
And so it breaks down over time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I really appreciate you talking about all of this and sharing your story. What we'll do is I know that I have information on how people can reach you. And as you have more opportunities to speak through webinars and you have a website too, how can people find you?
So the easiest way to find me is to go to freemefrompains.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can even download a free gift I've got there. It's a series of a few small meditations, right? Maybe you say, hey, I don't know how to meditate. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Right. One of those meditations is literally to walk you through not just why meditation works, but then how to meditate and how to look at yourself as, oh, this is actually meditating. And then build upon that to help you tap into, right, what some people might call magic, but is really just physics that we, you know, perhaps just, you know, encroaching into.
Magic does sound, I guess, more of like a fun buzzword. Yeah. But that's the thing, like it really takes a person to take it seriously, be accountable to themselves and care more about themselves to make it happen. So those resources will be great. I'll definitely link up information in our description box. Is there anything else you want to share as a takeaway, an application that somebody can just start today?
Yeah. How do you hold your own energy? What's less important is the energy that we bring. And what's more important is the way in which we hold it. The fire pit is more important than the fire. The fire will burn down the entire forest without the fire pit. What was it that we were talking about between you and me about, you know, partners? Men, you know, have a hard time holding space, you know, for their loved ones, for their wife, for their woman, for their girlfriend, you know, whatever. When you learn to hold space for yourself, everything changes because then you are more aware. And the more aware you can be, the more people will pick up, hey, I like the way I feel around that person.
Yeah. That's really that step one. It's really focusing. You got to go down to the core, and it's a evolution. It's always a process, but that's what's exciting too, is we can keep evolving. And so I know you're going to help people get there. Thanks so much for being here today on The Amber Stitt Show, Joshua.
Yeah, I really appreciate, again, the space that you hold. I love that we were able to meet. I kind of want to high five you right through the screen.
And, you're so close, Arizona, Utah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you again soon, okay?
Sounds great.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Amber Stitt Show. For more information about the podcast, books, articles, and more, please visit me at amberstitt.com. Until next week, enjoy your journey at home and at work. Thank you for listening.